Hello and welcome to this edition of Wallingford and District Talking Newspaper for Wednesday the 15th of October 2025. Articles have been taken from the Wallingford Herald. Your readers today are Jane, Jane and Jill, the three J's. I'm Martin producing and Helen will be copying.
Hello, I'm Jane. My first article is on page 2, entitled Over 6 million COVID jabs delivered by the NHS. More than 6 million vaccinations for COVID-19 have now been delivered across Buckinghamshire, Oxfordshire and Berkshire West by the NHS. Health leaders are thanking NHS staff, volunteers and partner organisations for their work to reach the milestone. They are also encouraging eligible people to continue coming forward for vaccinations this winter, although the eligibility criteria has changed. Sarah Bellers, Chief Nursing Officer at the Buckinghamshire, Oxfordshire and Berkshire West Integrated Care Board, said delivering more than 6 million COVID-19 vaccinations is a fantastic achievement and reflects the dedication of our NHS teams and partners right across our area. We are proud of the protection this programme has given to people at greatest risk.
Hello, this is Jill. Young man sentenced for part in car park attack. A young man was part of an attack on a 17-year-old, which left the victim suffering from blackouts. James Hickman of Copps Road, Southampton, was on trial at Oxford Crown Court for his part in an assault on Joseph Woods. The incident took place on December the 29th, 2021, at the Sainsbury's car park in Didcot's Orchard Centre. Hickman, 21, denied one count of causing grievous bodily harm to Mr. Woods. However, a jury found him guilty on Monday, September the 8th. He was sentenced on Thursday, the October the 9th. Prosecuting barrister Sandra Beck read out a victim personal statement on behalf of Mr. Woods. It said, "I had surgery in January 2022 due to the injuries caused to my face. It was a scary time for me. The doctors told me I could have gone blind in one eye. I couldn't eat for a week due to the tube they put down my throat. I had blackouts all the time. I didn't work for 6 months. It affected my family life a lot. I'm really scared about this happening again." The statement added, "Before the incident, I was training to be a boxer, but I had to completely give up due to the blackouts." In mitigation, the court heard that Hickman led a simple, quiet life and was at low risk of reoffending. He also has good family support with his parents in court during the trial and sentencing. During the trial, the jury heard that Mr. Woods, who had been at the cinema with his girlfriend at the time, Amelia Cox, after the film, the pair went to Sainsbury's and were just about to head home. A group of young men drove alongside them and shouted at them. Mr. Woods threw a can of Red Bull at the car and the group got out and assaulted him. Hickman's role was said to have taken place near the end of the attack when he hit him on the ground. Opening the case for the prosecution, Sandra Beck said, "A black car drove past the couple in the Sainsbury's car park. The passenger window was down and Amelia Cox heard someone shout, 'You both look like twos,' and then four stars, 'We're going to beat you up.' The car was full of people. Mr. Woods was concerned for his girlfriend, who was 15 at the time. He told her to stand away. He knew something was about to happen. He was outnumbered. All occupants got out of the car and Mr. Woods was punched to the ground. Judge Hassan Khan sentenced him for a 2-year community order. Hickman was also ordered to complete 200 hours of unpaid work within 12 months and 5 rehabilitation activity requirement days. He was also ordered to pay £2,000 compensation, and there were no orders for costs."
Hello, this is the other Jane. The next article is titled High-Tech CCTV Cameras in Place to Help Deter Yobs. A leading councillor in Didcot has welcomed a boost to CCTV coverage, which he hopes will deter further antisocial behaviour. Former Mayor Moki Khan, a district councillor for Didcot South, early this year branded a spat of bad behaviour as shocking. Some residents were targeted by young people kicking front doors following a social media trend which went viral. Five new high-definition CCTV cameras have been installed in Didcot Town Centre, completing a £160,000 district council project to digitise Town Centre CCTV cameras across South Oxfordshire. The new cameras have directly replaced the remaining analogue models and complete the project to upgrade 9 cameras across the district. All cameras are now fully digitalised, providing the District Council's CCTV operators with greater picture clarity to help support public safety and to assist the emergency services. Last year, CCTV operators monitored over 300 incidents in Didcot alone and supported the police in making 23 arrests in the town. Following a community safety consultation and feedback from the Town Council, the Didcot CCTV project has included installing a new camera to cover the junction by the Cow Lane Bridge, which leads to the Lady Grove Estate. Mr. Khan said, "We welcome the improved CCTV camera coverage in Didcot, and I do hope it leads to a reduction in antisocial behaviour in the town. Having better CCTV could act as a deterrent, and the footage could also prove very useful as evidence. The nights are getting darker at this time of year, and this improvement will make people feel safer when they're moving around Didcot." Mr. Khan welcomed the new camera installation covering Cow Lane Bridge. He said, "It's been a problem area and has attracted graffiti. It's quite a dark area at night, so it's good to have this new camera in place." Didcot's CCTV upgrade, including installation and control room works, cost more than £13,000. The District Council, in partnership with Vale of Whitehorse District Council, runs a CCTV control room that oversees town centre schemes in Abingdon, Didcot, Farringdon, Henley, Tame, Wallingford and Wantage. Georgina Heritage, Cabinet Member for Communities at South Oxfordshire District Council, said, "The installation of these new high-definition cameras in Didcot marks the final step in fully digitising our public space CCTV cameras across South Oxfordshire's town centres. With more than £160,000 invested in new cameras, cabling and control room technology, we're providing clearer images to support public safety, assist emergency service and help reduce crime, while also improving energy efficiency to support our carbon reduction goals." And the article is accompanied by a picture of Didcot South Councillor Moki Khan and a picture of a CCT image of some shops.
Tax rise adds £50,000 to staffing costs. A Didcot firm is having to think carefully about hiring staff following tax rises introduced earlier this year. The Figaro shop, which restores and services Nissan Figaro cars, says the increase in employer national insurance contributions has added £50,000 to its staffing costs over just 6 months. Tobin Brooks, founder and managing director, said, "We're proud to be a local employer and to support the UK economy, but these increased costs inevitably force businesses like ours to think carefully about how and when we hire." The rise, introduced in April to help fund the NHS and other public services, saw employer national insurance contributions go up from 13.8% to 15%, while the salary threshold was lowered from just more than £9,000 to £5,000 per year. Mr. Brooks said, We've absorbed some of the impact by reducing profit margins and working more efficiently while protecting customer service and keeping our highly skilled team intact. Despite the financial pressure, the company continues to serve a global community of Nissan Figaro owners with specialist restoration upgrades and hard-to-source parts. Its Oxfordshire workshop has become a destination for Figaro owners from across Europe and beyond, seeking the expert care for their vehicles. The Figaro shop was recently featured on BBC Breakfast.
Public invited to shape future of trust services. Members of the public are being invited to help shape the future of services at an Oxfordshire NHS Trust. Oxford University Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust has launched a survey for patients, carers, families, local communities and partners to contribute ideas for its forthcoming five-year plan. The strategy, titled Shaping Our Future Trust Strategy 2026 to 2031, seeks to build on current initiatives to deliver compassionate healthcare driven by top-tier research and innovation. This aligns with the government's 10-year health plan for England, Fit for the Future, which focuses on transitioning healthcare from hospital to community, analogue to digital, and sickness to prevention. The Trust said these three aims will underpin its plans for the next 5 years, and the public's input will be fundamental in shaping the strategy.
Young dancers to perform in Las Vegas. A group of young dancers from Didcot are preparing for a performance in Las Vegas. The Bernardine Soul School of Dance will make its US debut at the Saks Theatre on the Las Vegas Strip during the October half term, with 29 students performing 5 routines. Principal Bernardine Soul and Vice Principal Natalie Soul said, "We are so proud of them all and can't wait to watch them perform. We are honoured our school has been recognised for all our talented and hard-working students for these opportunities to arise. Good luck, girls." The youngest of the dancers, whose ages range from 7 to 17, is Penelope Bunce, who said, "I am so excited to dance in Vegas. It's the best thing ever. I love dancing and really like the costumes and music." The school, which offers classes in acrobatics, dance, aerial arts and musical theatre, has been established for more than 34 years and is based at Didcot Civic Hall. It regularly offers students opportunities to perform both nationally and internationally. Students have also the opportunity to take British Theatre Dance Association exams, as well as professional productions and competitions. The school said the girls have all been working incredibly hard preparing for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and we cannot wait to see them shine on that stage and make more memories with our dance family. And the article is accompanied by dancers from the Bernardine School of Dance.
Letter to readers from the editor of the Herald series. Dear readers, as of this week, the Herald has had a small price increase to cover some unavoidable cost rises in producing your newspaper. Our mission, as always, is to provide you with as much local news at the heart of our community as possible. We are proud to be out and about in southern Oxfordshire 7 days a week, every day of the year, whether that's breaking news stories, court reports, covering local government, events, announcements, campaigning, fundraising, or supporting local businesses. We believe the work we do makes a real difference, and we remain passionate about being the voice of Southern Oxfordshire, a thriving collection of communities which deserve to have their own newspapers. We have endeavoured to keep the effect on you, our loyal readers, as small as possible, with just a 10 pence covering price rise. We have tried to continue to develop our products, bringing you more of the news you want to read. as the only dedicated newspaper for the Wantage, Abingdon, Didcot and Wallingford areas, we strive to deliver factually balanced news, reports and celebrate our communities. With major changes underway affecting our way of life, from major infrastructure projects and large amounts of house building to the wider recognition of local government, it has never been more important to hold local politicians and those in authority to account. Our court reporter is providing unparalleled coverage of the justice system, with more reporting of Crown Court trials, as well as comprehensive details of the work of the Magistrates Court. We have also opened up more space in the paper, reducing the amount of advertising to maximise editorial content. This includes running more news from your community, as well as increased features on entertainment and property. Our front pages regularly promote competitions for our newspaper readers to enter, giving away shopping vouchers, holidays and theatre vouchers, and entry to local events. If you have any local news, stories or important local events you would like to see covered, please don't hesitate to get in touch with me directly at the following email address, andrew.coley@newsquest.co.uk. I'm always interested in hearing from you. Thank you for your continued support and for being part of the Herald family. Best wishes, Andrew Coley, Regional Editor. And there are three photographs, one of the said Andrew Coley, one showing the print centre team at work, and another lovely picture of the South Oxfordshire countryside, which I believe is taken from the Cynodon Hills looking towards Day's Lock.
Free extra garden waste collections. Brown bin permit holders in South Oxfordshire and the Vale of the White Horse can have extra garden waste collections for free this autumn. The collections will take place between October the 27th and November the 7th on residents' usual bin days. Councillor Sam James Laurie, Cabinet Member for Environment at South Oxfordshire District Council, said, "We know many residents are busy tidying up their gardens in the autumn, so this is a great opportunity for permit holders to recycle that extra waste responsibly. By offering these additional collections, we're making it easier for households to keep their gardens in good shape while ensuring garden waste is turned into valuable compost. Permit holders can put out a maximum of 4 additional garden sacks of waste, sacks of garden waste per brown bin subscription, alongside their brown bin using 60 litre refuse style sacks or boxes of equivalent volume. Only natural garden waste, such as grass cuttings, plants, and small branches, will be accepted, and all bags or containers must be left open to allow crews to check for contamination." Councillor Hayley Gascoigne, Cabinet Member for Environmental Services, Climate Action and Nature Recovery at Vale of White Horse District Council said, "We're pleased to provide this service in the autumn, which helps residents clear their gardens before the winter. All garden waste collected will be transformed into compost and used by local farmers. It's a simple and sustainable way to return nutrients to the soil."
Fruity fun at biggest and best apple day. Villagers held what they claimed was the biggest and best apple day in the county, with more than 100 varieties of the fruit on show. Sunday's event at Brightwell-cum-Sotwell near Wallingford attracted a large turnout. Following a bumper crop of apples this season after a good growing summer, the celebration day went ahead with juice pressing, cider making, apple tasting and children's activities. Visitors got to try some of the more than 100 varieties of apple all grown in the village, led by fruit farmer and one of the festival organisers, Paul Chilton. There was also the opportunity to sample all sorts of Apple products, including cakes, pies, flans, flapjacks, muffin bakes and chutneys, with the opportunity to buy produce from food and drink stores, recipe books, speciality vinegars and even apple-themed pottery. The Community Orchard has been hosting Apple Day for 13 years now, and it's free to attend for all. And the article is accompanied by a picture of Paul Chilton, retired fruit farmer and apple expert, smiling and holding up one of the apples.
Bathing site water rated poor again. Samples show the water quality at Wallingford's bathing site was poor during the 2025 season for the second year in a row. Regular water testing during the swimming season began at Wallingford Beach in 2024, when the spot by Wallingford Bridge on the River Thames was made a designated bathing water site. The Environment Agency's bathing water site profile shows water samples from Wallingford had bacteria levels which fell within the threshold for poor quality, the lowest rating it could receive, for the second consecutive year since testing began. Claire Robertson, project officer for the Oxford Rivers Project at Thames 21, explained the overall quality is marked against a strict rating system. The rating system is strict in that if only one sample out of 20 exceeds the threshold levels, the bathing water gets rated poor, she said. Wallingford seems to be generally low in bacteria levels, with the occasional spike, which is sometimes related to heavy rainfall. The Environment Agency and Thames Water have active investigations into what causes these spikes, but it's difficult to pinpoint. Being a designated bathing water site does not make it a safe site to swim in. It obliges the Environment Agency to test regularly the water for bacterial levels and publish the results so that river users can make informed decisions on entering the water. The tests check for two types of bacteria, E. coli and intestinal enterococci, both of which can cause serious illnesses, including vomiting and fever. At Wallingford, which is one of 500 designated bathing water sites in the UK, but one of only 16 on Rivers South Oxfordshire District Council, installed a notice board at the beach so that people could check the latest test results before heading into the river. Ms. Robinson said, "Swimming in the river is so good for you and is what the people of Oxfordshire have done since time immemorial." Nevertheless, like lots of other things in life, it carries some risk. Tips from Thames 21 on how to stay safe when swimming in the river include not swimming for 48 hours after heavy rainfall, covering cuts or wounds, washing your hands with clean water after swimming, and being aware of other risks in the river, including fast currents, cold water, and submerged objects. Ms. Robinson added, "People have to make their own decisions whether they swim at poor rated spots, remembering that outdoor swimming, like all other sports, comes with many benefits, but also some risks. It also depends on people's own health and bodies. For example, I followed our safety tips, and I haven't ever been unwell after 6 years of regularly swimming in the river. However, someone older or with a compromised immune system might not have the same experience." And there's a photograph of Wallingford Beach on a busy summer day.
Thousands of pupils to receive CPR training. Pupils at nearly 100 schools across Oxfordshire, Berkshire, Buckinghamshire and Hampshire will be taught how to carry out CPR and use a defibrillator. The training will take place as part of Restart a Heart Day on Wednesday, October the 15th, delivered by teams from South Central Ambulance Service. The ambulance service is aiming to train more than 10,000 pupils in how to respond during a cardiac emergency. David Hamer, paramedic and operations manager at South Central Ambulance Service, said, "Restart a Heart Day is one of the most important dates in our calendar because it's about giving thousands of young people the skills and the confidence to save a life. We are grateful to our first responders, co-responders, and South Central Ambulance Service who are volunteering their time." And there's a picture of a young boy who's practicing CPR on a dummy.
Pub reopens after major six-figure investment. A popular Oxfordshire pub has reopened after a major six-figure investment. Having already served the people of Didcot for over 100 years, Broadways in the town centre has undergone a full interior refurbishment. Alongside the revamp, Broadway's outdoor drinking area now boasts a brand new range of comfortable furniture, complemented by refreshed furnishings throughout the interior. It now features a state-of-the-art audio-visual system, promising the best sound experience, ideal for live entertainment and all the Premier League action. Broadway's has upgraded its amenities with new SkyQ boxes, allowing it to show Sky, Sky Sports Plus, TNT Sport, and even Sport on Amazon Prime. The refurbishment has introduced fresh decor that the pub says creates a warmer, more welcoming atmosphere, while the bar now serves a new range of beer. Renovations also include a new pub sports area with a brand new darts area, as well as games of pool. The Didcot pub boasts a selection of beers, ciders and wine, as well as an extensive offering of no and low alcohol beverages, ensuring all guests are accommodated. Open until 3 a.m. on Fridays and Saturdays, the pub is a Didcot favourite for a pint by day and a lively weekend spot by night, with weekly live music and DJs attracting guests from across the area. And there's a picture of the Didcot Watering Hole new bar.
Council say criticism of local plan unwarranted. The planning inspector's conclusion on a local plan jointly created by two Oxfordshire councils have been described as unwarranted and lacking coherent explanation. Councils submit a local plan every 4 years, which sets out how much housing and infrastructure is needed to meet demand and where it should go. In an open letter, South Oxfordshire and Vale of Whitehorse District Councils criticised the planning inspector's recommendations to withdraw the joint local plan. The inspectors argued the plan did not sufficiently meet the duty to cooperate with Oxford City Council. The council said any decision to withdraw would need to be made at full council meetings in December at the earliest. David Ruane, leader of South Oxfordshire District Council, said, "I'm dismayed that after several years of diligent, careful and collaborative hard work, our positive, innovative joint local plan that works towards genuinely sustainable growth could be undone by inspectors' conclusions based on an out-of-date policy and misinterpreted legislation. I am not aware of another emerging local plan in Oxfordshire that so encompasses and embraces the vision set out in the Oxfordshire Strategic Vision, which all our councils signed up to as our joint local plan." The councils raised several concerns with the inspector's finding. They noted errors in the inspector's letter, including references to the Oxfordshire housing market area, which is no longer used in housing. They also disputed the interpretation of what constitutes a strategic matter under planning law, arguing the inspectors failed to identify specific significant impacts on Oxford as required. The council said the inspectors relied on Oxford's withdrawn local plan 2040, which suggested a housing shortfall without accounting for the 6,780 homes already included in the joint local plan to address Oxford's unmet need. They added the inspectors' downplayed work led by Oxfordshire County Council in 2023, showing Oxford's unmet need was fully addressed, favouring a note by Oxford City Council, which said it was not. And although not mentioned in the article, there's a photograph of Councillor Bethia Thomas.
Kate under suspicion in Traitors. And there's a warning that this article contains spoilers. Abingdon-born TV presenter Kate Garraway came under suspicion from other contestants in the first episode of a new celebrity version of hit BBC show The Traitors. The celebrity Traitors attracted more than 6 million viewers for its launch episode. Host Claudia Winkleman selected broadcaster Jonathan Ross, comedian Alan Carr, and singer Kat Burns as the traitors. In the episode on Wednesday night, 19 celebrities were welcomed to the Scottish Highlands by Winkleman, where they were tasked with digging a grave to find a shield which would protect them from the first murder, before they were later challenged to pull a wooden Trojan horse through a number of gates. At the end of the grave challenge, Mr. Ross, former England rugby player and podcaster Joe Marler, comedian Joe Wilkinson, broadcaster Kate Garraway, Welsh singer Charlotte Church, and actress Celia Imrie all found shields. Viewers from Oxfordshire will be keeping an eye on the progress of Good Morning Britain presenter Ms. Garraway as she attended Dunmore and Fitzharry schools in Abingdon. The breakfast show host was suspected of being a traitor by some of the other celebrities, including actress Ruth Codd, who confided in several other cast members, "I'm not certain at all, but I am suspicious of Kate a little bit." The presenter expressed her surprise that some of her co-stars suspected her of being a traitor. "What I didn't realise is right from the get-go, people thought it was me," she said. During the first episode's conclusion, the three traitors were instructed that they must kill in plain sight before the end of the night by finding a poison black lily in the castle, rubbing their hands on its pollen and touching the face of the person they wanted to murder. The show ended with Alan Carr rubbing his hands on the poison lily as the anticipation of whether or not he would successfully complete the task at hand and kill the first faithful built up. The spin-off series will see celebrities compete for the chance to win a cash prize of up to £100,000 for a charity of their choice. The show features contestants, known as faithfuls, trying to detect the traitors in the group while completing a series of challenges to win funds to contribute towards the prize pot. If at the end of the series a traitor is left among the finalists, the faithfuls, those who are not traitors, lose out on the money and the traitor wins the full prize. The celebrity traitors will air two nights a week on Wednesday and Thursday evenings at 9 p.m. on BBC One.
Oh Lord, are we missing it?
£200,000 council job will be recruited internally. A new council chief executive who will be paid more than £200,000 a year will be recruited internally. South Oxfordshire and Vale of Whitehorse District Councils, which share one chief executive together, will not advertise for a role outside existing employees. Mark Stone quit his £215,000 job a year at the two councils on September the 30th, having led since July 2017. In the meantime, interims have taken on the chief executive responsibilities, primarily by the two districts' deputy chief executives as well as officers. Adriana Partridge and Suzanne Malcolm are the authority's deputy chief executives taking on the interim positions. Responding to questions by this newspaper, a spokesman for both South and Vale Council said, "The process to appoint a new chief executive is ongoing with candidate interviews scheduled to take place shortly. We have invited applications from internal candidates in the first instance. This was a pragmatic approach, given external recruitment can be a very lengthy process and that the market for senior officers is challenging in the present climate. With the government's current trajectory for local government reorganisation, we ideally need someone expediently who fully understands the councils and our committees and communities to steer us through the next few years. Under existing government plans, there could be no South and Vale councils in 2028 when government-imposed local government reorganisation takes place. However, a path for the future of all Oxfordshire councils has not yet been decided, with South and Vale both opting to join a Ridgeway council with West Berkshire. In the meantime, South and Vale councils expect the new chief executive to be in post in December, leaving a gap of around 2 months. Following a robust process to ensure we have the right candidate for the role, if one of the candidates is recommended for appointment, we currently expect them to be in place by December," the spokesman said. On an interim basis, the chief executive role is currently being covered by two of the council's deputy chief executives and other statutory officers, and this is working successfully as two councils with one workforce. And the article is accompanied by Mark Stone, who was a picture of Mark Stone, the former chief executive.
Wedding celebrant secures spot in regional award finals. An independent wedding celebrant has secured a coveted spot in the regional finals of the Wedding Industry Awards. Susie Vandermark of Celebrations by Susie is up for Best Celebrant after winning Best Newcomer at the Awards for the South Central Region last year. This is the first step on the road to national glory for Ms. Vandermark in her relatively new career as a wedding celebrant, which follows 25 years in corporate communications. Ms. Vandermark creates and delivers joyful and truly personal wedding ceremonies for her couples and says her experience as a professional writer and storyteller for brands, businesses and their people has proved invaluable in her role as an independent celebrant. It has allowed her to pivot her skill set to write and deliver meaningful and memorable ceremonies from scratch, with the story of her couples at their centre. Miss Vandermark, who lives in Nettlebed near Wallingford, said, "To be selected for the Best Celebrant category of the Wedding Industry Awards for a second year is mind-boggling brilliant. Winning at the awards last year was a wonderful accolade and such a surprise, particularly as the judges decided their fate entirely on client feedback. So huge thanks to all my couples who voted. Getting to know them and taking the time to create a truly bespoke wedding ceremony that's full of memorable moments and personal touches without any rules or restrictions, so it's a true reflection of them, their story and their wishes, is a total pleasure and a real privilege." A real trend this year for Ms. Vandermark and her wedding ceremonies has been the venue choices of her couples, as far afield as neighbouring Berkshire, Buckinghamshire and the Cotswolds. Barns have proved a particular hit, including Old Luxter's Barn, Stratton Court Barn in Bicester and Notley Tithe Barn, and August even saw Susie deliver a wedding ceremony at the Bodleian Library in Oxford. She added, "I'm bowled over by the generosity of my couples and delighted by the recognition of the Wedding Industry Awards judges to be in the Best Celebrant category again in such a competitive region. Now I can't wait to see what Regional Awards Night at Froyle Park brings me." And there's quite a few photographs. There's one of Susie and a couple in their wedding ceremony, a simple one of Susie by herself, and then a couple others of her leading celebrations.
Rail operator warns of disruption. A rail operator has warned of significant travel disruption, which will coincide with an Oxford United home match. The industrial action by the RMT union will impact cross-country services on Saturday, October the 18th. The strike will see RMT union members in customer service roles declining to work. All cross-country routes will be impacted, with a limited service on some routes and no service on others. Services will also finish much earlier than usual. Oxford United will play Derby County at the Kassam Stadium on the day with a kick-off at 12:30 p.m. Trains that do run will be significantly busier than usual, and services will also finish much earlier in the day, so passengers are advised to plan return journeys carefully. There will also be some changes to some calling patterns on the day, so passengers should plan their journeys carefully before travelling. Shiona Rolfe, Cross Country's Managing Director, said, "We are disappointed for our customers that the RMT has announced more industrial action. While we will try and to run as many services as possible, customers will inevitably face significant disruption. We are committed to reaching an agreement with the RMT and remain available to continue talks. There is also planned engineering work over the weekend, which will further impact cross-country trains."
Prepare your garden for winter. To get your garden ready for winter, consider the following steps. Cut back certain flowers. Trim longer stems of perennials like roses to prevent snapping during storms. Cut autumn fruiting raspberries down to within 5 centimetres of the ground. Protect seasonal plants. Pot up fragile plants, e.g. dahlias, gladioli, and bring them indoors away from frost. Seek advice if unsure what plants to bring inside. Net ponds. Decomposing leaves turns your pond water foul and blocks the filters on pumps. Spread a fine mesh net across the pond and pin it down with bricks. Remove any leaves that fall into it and add them to your compost heap. Plant bulbs. Winter is an opportunity to plant bulbs for next year's blooms. Remove fallen leaves. Clear leaves from the grass to prevent damp patches and rot. Use a rake or a leaf blower and compost the leaves for next year's soil. Tidy borders and add soil. Weed borders, dig up old soil and add fresh layers for spring. Consider hiring a gardener for efficient work. Mulch. Apply a thick layer of mulch around plants to help regulate soil temperature and protect the roots from frost. And there's a picture of a garden with lots of leaves falling out of a bag.
And now the On This Day article. So, 1917, Mata Hari, legendary Dutch spy who danced in the nude, was executed by a firing squad in Paris. Last year, the iconic lava lamp, originally created by British brand Mathmos, celebrated turning 60. Birthdays: Christopher, singer, 77, Sarah Ferguson, Duchess of York, 66, Stephen Tompkinson, actor, 60, Dominic West, actor, 56, Andy Cole, former footballer and coach, 54, Vincent Martella, actor, 33. In history, 1066, the Battle of Hastings was fought at Senlac Hill in Sussex, at which William of Normandy defeated Harold of England to claim the English throne. 1890, Dwight D. Eisenhower, Ike, Second World War military leader and 34th US president, was born in Denison, Texas. 1913, Britain's worst pit disaster took place in Glamorgan. 439 died after an explosion. 1939, the Royal Navy battleship Royal Oak was torpedoed and sunk in Scarpa Flow. 1944, Rommel, the Desert Fox, took cyanide tablets and died within minutes before he could be arrested for his part in the plot to kill Hitler. 1947, Chuck Yeager in his Bell X-1 rocket plane became the first man to break the sound barrier. 1969, the 50 pence decimal coin was first issued in Britain, replacing the 10 shilling note. And in 1990, 5 days after announcing his retirement through ill health, conductor Leonard Bernstein died.
Events from the local diary. On Saturday the 18th of October, Riverside Repair Cafe in the garden of Eastgate House, 1 High Street, Wallingford. 10 a.m. to 1 p.m, bring items for repair. Also Saturday the 18th of October, 6:30 p.m. till late, Legends of a Golden Age at the George Hotel, Wallingford. 3-course meal and live music, tickets £75. And on Monday the 20th of October, 10:30 a.m. to 12 midday, in Wallingford Library, is My Vision Coffee Morning for the Visually Impaired.
That concludes this edition of Wallingford Talking Newspaper. We hope you found it interesting and we wish you a pleasant week. We are going home now to find out if Kate is safe. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye. Goodbye.